Welcome back to After Hours. We switch gears a bit, but not that much, by having in studio Tony Fitzpatrick, Yulia Kuznetsova. Is that good?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm
yeah.
half Russian. You think I should be able to pronounce names. She is from Russia. Tony is certainly from Chicago. Attorney Fiona McEntee is in here, too. You want to stay here, don't you, Yulia?
I will. I want to.
You are a visual artist that came here to study at the Art Institute. In order to do that, your parents in Russia sold their apartment to finance this, did they not?
She got a scholarship. Okay. And for to be able to afford for her to live here, they sold their flat. They sold their home.
And how did you first meet Yulia, Tony?
A really marvelous Chicago artist named Mary Lou Zelazny had Yulia as a student. And she called me and she said, I have somebody very, very special. And at the time, I was kind of fully staffed. And I said, you know, I really can't take on anyone else. And then she sent me images of the work. And, you know, for 30 years, I've had assistants. You know, and I had Yulia until her work permit ran out.
Which was when?
Which was about 4 months ago, early December. And I've never had anybody as talented and as gifted and with as much insight and nuance. And I've had some really talented people.
Oh, I know. I've known many.
You've interviewed a couple of them.
Yeah,
you know, Zach Mucha, you know, I mean, a great many. And I just thought, this is precisely the kind of person we want to be an American. And it reminded me, you know, my own great-grandmother came here from Ireland. We're an immigrant people.
Sure.
This is a country of immigrants.
And my grandparents came here from Russia.
Precisely. And
Minsk.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hired Yulia, and pretty soon she kind of made everybody else obsolete, you know. Everyone was kind of leaving anyway, but I didn't have to hire any other people because she did everything.
Talk to me for a second, Tony, about her artwork. You sent me some examples
yeah.
of it, and I
when I first saw it, I was knocked
stunned.
Back on my heels.
Thank you. Thank you.
And a lot of it spoke to what young women face if they stay in Russia. And they are searing, gut-wrenching paintings. And she pulls no punches. I mean, to meet her, she's, you know, the sweetest kid in the world, you know. I mean, she's my daughter's age. But she paints with the force of a punch to the gut. And they stay with you. And the first time I awarded her a show, after she hung the show, I had to have one. I bought one. I mean, at the time, I was still kind of recovering from my heart surgery and the medical bills and stuff, and I had no business buying anything.
Oh, quit
but
your
I had,
Michelle
I had
has
to
money.
Have it.
Quit your
yeah,
crying.
Yeah, really.
Take it from your kids.
Yeah, exactly.
They have money.
Spend their inheritance.
That's right.
But I just, they connected with me in such a visceral way, I thought, this is somebody who should be in the mix. This is somebody who should be part of the American firmament. Of visual art.
Yulia, your parents, from what little I know of you, seem to have an affection almost secondhand for what America can be. Could you talk about that? Because it had to have inspired you a bit, certainly to want to come study here, and now I think to want to stay here.
Definitely. My parents were the ones who actually brought that idea up that we gotta change something in our lives. It's, you know, it's enough living in suppression, in oppression and pain.
Sure.
And keep living that way. Once you realize of your situation, once you, you know, understand where you live and how government treats you, and what you have to endure, you either comply to what's happening, to the rules, or you have to switch something. You have to change.
You have to better your life. You have to move. You have to move.
You cannot fix the government. People are not together about it. Many of them are scared of speaking up, you know, about...
Sure.
Well,
people are scared here. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Fiona McEntee, you are now in the process of fighting for a visa for this astonishingly talented young artist. How did you get involved?
So, Tony came to me last summer through, we had some mutual friends here.
The late Donny Cruz, actually.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, he was a friend of mine.
And then Coley Newell.
Wow, yeah. What a good guy he was.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, so we connected, I think, shortly after Donny's funeral. Yeah. Yeah. And Yulia and Tony came out to our office and... we kind of sat down and had a consultation and discussed potential options for staying in the States. You know, and I've been practicing immigration law now for 10 and a half years.
Exclusively immigration
for 10 and a half years. And I don't
Have any of those years been as bad as the last 2 years?
None at all. Yeah. I mean, none of them. I feel like I've aged 20 years over the past year. It's things that really are not even hitting the media because there's just so much noise surrounding immigration that there's a lot going on behind the scenes that people just don't know because it's very hard. Like even in business or entertainment related immigration, there's a lot going on and you just don't hear about it because, you know, obviously there are other things that might affect more people or, you know, the president might tweet about something that will, you know, obviously the travel ban, there were some really controversial immigration policies.
Well, things tend to fade from the headlines. Now you have a porn star on 60 yeah. Minutes, so that will dominate the news for a while. And these really important these are life and death stories,
absolutely.
As far as I'm concerned.
And this is like, to me, Yulia represents really the true American dream. And
yes.
That's not in a cheesy way at all. This is like, you know, after first meeting Yulia, I couldn't help myself but cry afterwards. We both were crying because she told me about her parents selling their apartment. And I have two young kids. And I just thought, my God, you do anything for your children.
Yeah.
And America still has that, like, promise and that opportunity for people. And it's such a shame that that's being clouded.
But it's being squandered.
But it's not. It's, I think, for people like us who are like resisting and, you know, continuing to fight back, it's still there and we're fighting for it on a daily basis. And, you know, I think people will always want to come to America. And our job is to make sure that that's possible. And
well, and also not just to come, but the point being to be able to stay or not stay.
Yes, exactly. To have the option. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, she came here. Yulia came here on a student visa initially.
Yeah.
To study at the Art Institute. Then, in very layman's terms, then what happens when she is no longer a student, that visa sort of evaporates?
Yeah, so students who are here studying come on F1 student visas, and then after their course of study is finished, they, assuming they get, you know, bachelor's degree or a certain level or then a master's, they get a work permit, usually for a year, can be longer depending on the field of study. So during that like work permit time, they need to figure out what their options are for moving to, and if they want to remain here, to another option.
Are most people kind of left adrift? Who explains options to people in those situations?
It would be immigration attorneys like myself. And, you know, I think as well it's important that people are getting competent advice from experienced immigration practitioners.
Yeah, because I have to think that somewhere out there are non-competent people, maybe even perhaps taking advantage.
Absolutely, yeah. When people are vulnerable, people will try to take advantage.
No question. And people,
yeah.
You know, sometimes the language isn't, you know, aren't fluent in English. Mm-hmm. And they can be taken advantage of, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there's, you know, as well, especially in different communities, notario fraud can be a big thing. So our bar association has, you know, will do investigations for unlawful practice of law, and it's obviously a crime. And, you know, so there's certain things that can be done. But we urge people to get advice from experienced immigration attorneys who would most likely be members of AILA, which is the American Immigration Lawyers Association. That's the kind of main, or if only the only, bar association for immigration lawyers.
Julia, how did you find Fiona?
I was talking to Tony. I was basically crying and, you know, asking him to help me with that. It was
she'd had an internship with another arts organization, and I would love to name them, but I'm not gonna right now.
Why would they do?
They promised to help her with her immigration status, and
she helped them, they did not help
her.
Yeah,
after they helped, after she worked for them for no money, they said, well, for, you know, $6,000, this person can help.
Ugh.
And I just thought that was the grossest thing in the world. And by this point, she had come to work for me, and I thought, you know, she needs counsel, and she needs somebody good. And I called up my friend Coley Newell. Now, Coley is one of these guys who was connected to everybody in the city. And I said, I need a good immigration lawyer. And he just said, Fiona McEntee. Fiona McEntee and her brother Raymond. They were the first two out there when Trump started all that BS with the travel ban, that bastard. So
my next call
was to Fiona.
Well, I cannot, just as a observer, think that you could get yourself, Julia, a better team than these two. We got to take a commercial, then we got to get some news, and I'm going to keep them on here to discuss how we can all, and you two listening, can have a talented, immensely talented artist who wants to stay and live and make art here be able to do that. We'll be right back. Welcome back to After Hours. We are talking with artist Tony Fitzpatrick, Yulia Kuznetsova. I'm half Russian, and I can't pronounce Russian names.
Took me six months.
And I'm half Irish. I'm pretty good. I'm Irish. I can do Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
And Fiona is my daughter's name, so I'm okay with Fiona McEntee. We are talking about Yulia's desire to stay here and enrich the American artistic landscape, because she
is become an American.
She is a brilliant, brilliant visual artist, and she would enrich this country. In, you know, she's young. There's no telling how many ways. Fiona McEntee is the immigration attorney who is fighting to help her stay. What is the next? Tony Fitzpatrick has been a mentor to Yulia ever since he first saw her work, and has helped her, put her in touch with Fiona. Fiona, what is your next step? What's the next step to allow her to stay here?
So we filed a case for Yulia. It's an O-1 case, is the type of visa, and it's for people with extraordinary ability.
How do you have to prove to the, with all due respect, the idiots who were probably looking over these things? What defines, to have Tony Fitzpatrick come in and say, hi, I think this is a brilliant artist, would be enough for me.
Absolutely. I mean, it's kind of, that is one of the things to show, because, you know, we're not necessarily experts in the field of art, but guess who is? Tony Fitzpatrick.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, and I'm the least of them.
Well, guess who is? Somebody sitting at a desk in the immigration office is not.
Yeah.
Well, the people who have written letters for Yulia, too, no less than Andrew Davis.
Great film director.
Chris Keough, the vice president of Goldman Sachs, who is a huge art collector, and just flipped for her work. I mean, one of the things that they really don't have to worry about is Yulia's ability to make a living.
Right, right.
Her paintings get sold.
Sure.
You know, I mean,
now she has shows coming up, right?
Yeah. She's got a show coming up in Seattle May 3rd, and a show in Chicago here in September. And then a show at Austin at Bell Creek Allen Gallery. The show in Seattle is at Frederick Holmes. These are all top of the line joints.
Sure. Well, that should be, I mean, on some level, that should be, and I know it's not because
they've all written letters.
I know the legal system in this country. That should be more than enough. I have to ask both of you, young ladies, Yulia, are you, you must be hopeful that this will work out and that you will be able to become a citizen of this country.
Yeah, it basically keeps me going, the hope and the work, working, you know. Sometimes I get this dreadful feelings in case, what if, you know, it's not up to me exactly, and maybe despite that I work for it, you know, and how I want it, something goes terribly wrong. And
don't worry, we're not giving you back.
Yeah, I don't think these two are ever going to give up.
We're not giving you back.
But what about you, Fiona? How, being in the deep end of this immigration pool as you are you hopeful?
Yeah, so we filed Yulia's case, and we actually got a request for further evidence, which is common enough, and they've increased probably, I think, at least 50% under the current administration. So when you file a case, the government can come back looking for further evidence of, you know, whatever, depending on the case. Now, for the O-1, we need to show that Yulia meets at least 3 of 6 requirements. So we thought she clearly met 3, and we presented all this evidence in support of her case. I mean, we had stacks and stacks of evidence so beautifully presented with, you know, visual depictions of her work. And, you know, it's so striking. But the good news is that the government came back. They actually agreed with us that we proved 2 of the requirements. Which, you know, I've been practicing for 10 years. Almost always they say, no, you didn't meet any of them, just to, you know, create more work. But they actually agree that we met 2 of the 3.
What's the one that you still have to meet?
The one that we have to meet is to show that Yulia has played and will play a leading or critical role with distinguished organizations, meaning her work with Tony and the Dime, that's distinguished, and that she's going to play a leading role. And in
I'm waiting for her to be able to work again so she can become the manager of my studio.
Yeah.
Because before she had to leave my employ, she managed it far better than I do, you know. Who'd have thunk it, right? But this is somebody who's going to make a difference for women in the arts, for young women who are immigrants in the arts. She's going to light the way, and we're in the business now of just making sure that we have all of the required evidence necessary.
When do you present again? When do you next have to?
So we'll hopefully be filing within the next couple of weeks, you know, depending on the types of evidence that we can gather between now and then. But I'm confident. We can obviously never guarantee.
Of course.
But, you know, they did say that we met 2 of the 3 requirements, and we're used to fighting with the government over every single last thing.
That you're encouraged by that.
Yeah,
then.
I am.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah. This was good news.
Yeah. As weird as it sounds, Yulia and Tony were like, they asked for this and we don't understand what it means because it's, you know, all this legalese and they just cite all these requirements that we didn't even use. And however, as, you know, we read through it, translating it, I was like, this actually is, it's not a bad thing. They're agreeing that we're meeting 2 of the 3, so I'm confident.
Also, if they were to deny it, we have the right to an appeal.
Okay.
Yeah. And also suing in federal court, which is a new strategy that our Immigration Bar Association is taking, because when you appeal to essentially the same agency.
Sure.
What we're seeing happening is attorneys are actually taking the government into federal court and having judges decide whether or not, you know, we proved more likely than not that, you know, Yulia was extraordinary.
We also have enough supporters who are like really powerful guys who will help us with that, who will, you know, underwrite that kind of a case. I mean, I honestly cannot think of Yulia as anything other than a huge attribute to this country.
There's no question about that.
You know, and
Devlin, you're sitting over there. I mean, if you were the immigration department, you'd be in, would have been in before, right?
Of course. Yeah. Sounds like a role model.
Yeah, exactly.
Amen.
Exactly.
You know, I mean,
you three, my admiration for all three of you. You, I've known 90% of our lives.
Buddy, it's these two, right?
My admiration for you guys is boundless, and my optimism is not even guarded. I think you're going to pull this off.
She's going to be an American. She's going to be waving flags in the...
Will she talk like you then?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Being around Tony all this time, he hasn't poisoned you about certain... He's poisoned you about the right things to be poisoned about.
He has taught me, you know, to push back and have claws.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know,
not let myself down. You three are really fighting the good fight. I admire you tremendously.
We're telling her, look, Yulia, don't worry about it. Just go home and kill moose and squirrel, you know?
Yulia, Fiona, and Tony, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rick Kogan.
Thank you so much. Rick Kogan from
Mayor. We'll be right back with a couple of mob-adjacent characters.